Today's episode is brought to you by National Nachos Day. Today we're going to make things extra cheesy, and I'm not talking about your dad's jokes. On this day, too much sauce doesn't apply. So load up those tortilla chips with your favorite toppings. Today's episode is also brought to you by Saxophone Day. Remember this hit from 84? Well, today's the day to fully indulge in Careless Whisper by George Michael and other great saxophone hits. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Replay Today, a show designed to fill you in on all the cool history that went down on today's date, but just a few years prior or even a couple hundred years prior. Who knows how far we'll go? Each day is different, but we will always be talking sports, music, TV, film, news, birthdays, and so much more. So let's get to it. I am your host, Corey Musser, and sitting next to me today is Olivia Marcus.
Hey, what's up?
Happy Monday, everyone. It is November 6th. As always, we'll start things off with some birthday shout-outs.
This is not an ordinary day for you.
Our first birthday shout-out goes to American actress Sally Fields. Sally is famously known for her roles in Gidget, Miss Doubtfire, Forrest Gump, and The Amazing Spider-Man. She was born in Pasadena, California in 1964 and celebrates 71 years today. Next in today's birthday lineup goes to retired NBA player Lamar Odom. The two-time NBA champion was drafted by the Los Angeles Clippers in 1999, but he's also famously known for his marriage to Khloe Kardashian, his appearance in Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and of course their own spin-off show, Khloe and Lamar. Happy 38th birthday to you, Lamar. We've got a short list today. Our last birthday shout-out goes to Emma Stone. Born in Scottsdale, Arizona in 1988, Emma has blessed our TV screens with her great hits such as La La Land, Easy A, Crazy Stupid Love, Superbad, and of course her new movie out with Steve Carell, Battle of the Sexes. Happy 29th birthday to you, Emma. It is time to dive into some history. How you feeling, Liv? Are you excited?
Oh yeah, I'm really excited. Love history.
I know you do. So we'll start things off back to 1850 on November 6th when the first fire engine arrived in Hawaii. Later that year, on December 27th, 1850, King Kamehameha, I'm just guessing on that pronunciation, the third, signed an ordinance establishing the Honolulu Fire Department. This was the first fire department in Hawaiian Islands and the only fire department in the United States established by a ruling monarch. Moving on to 1879, on this day, Canada celebrates their first Thanksgiving Day. Their celebration features what we do here in America, such as prepping turkey, squash, pumpkin, and so on, and this became common across Canada by the 1870s. And in 1957, Thanksgiving was proclaimed as an annual event to occur on the second Monday of October. Kind of early. What do you think?
Yeah, I basically think Canada was like, oh, the U.S. does this thing called Thanksgiving. We're going to copy them. We don't want to seem like we're copying them.
Do you enjoy Thanksgiving, Olivia?
I enjoy Thanksgiving because it's basically a week to prep for Christmas, but I will never eat Thanksgiving food.
Honestly, same here. I've never met someone who agrees with me on that.
Yeah, I usually warm up like a kids' cuisine TV dinner in the microwave. Because my mom gets so mad. She's like, I'm not cooking anything extra for you. So
anything? Stuffing?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing. I'll have a nice glass of Prosecco.
I like your style.
Yeah.
In 1923, USSR adopts experimental calendar with five-day weeks. So their five-day week consisted of 4 days of work and 1 day off. However, this day off wasn't the same for everyone. And the reasoning for a five-day week was intended to keep factories running, increase productivity, but it was kind of a flop. So they then pushed for a six-day week, which everyone received the same day off, but ultimately they resorted back to the traditional seven-day week. Could you imagine only having a five-day week?
The thing that confuses me is the days are still there. So you could have a five-day week, but it's not like days have magically disappeared from the calendar.
Exactly.
Like, time still goes on. You're just deciding when you have a day off. It's very, I can't think about it too much. It really confuses me.
It's 1928, and on this day, the first electric razor was out on the market.
Do you mean razor scooter or shaving razor?
Actually, that's a good question. It was a shaving razor.
Oh, bummer. Okay.
Colonel Jacob Schick was the inventor and entrepreneur and patented the electric razor and also had his own razor company. Although we are in the month of November, which, or should I say, Movember, and electric razors are out of sight until December. Movember Foundation is a multinational charity founded in 2004 that aims to raise awareness to men's health. On November 6th, 1947, NBC's Meet the Press debuts, and it is the United States' longest-running TV show. If you've tuned in this week to Meet the Press, you know that they are celebrating their 70 years on television. The show is now currently hosted by Chuck Todd.
I've actually never seen it, but...
You haven't? I'm actually, surprised.
No, I haven't. But maybe after 70 years, it's time for me to...
Tune in.
Maybe watch the pilot or something.
On this day in 1965, the Rolling Stones started a two-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with Get Off of My Cloud. If you tuned in to replay today, our first episode, you remember that Rolling Stones released this song on October 25th, and that is ranked number 12 in their list of 100 greatest Rolling Stones songs. This was the group's second number one hit, and this song knocked off Beatles Yesterday from the number one position. Do you know that song, Olivia?
No, I'm
you don't
striking out. I don't.
Oh my gosh, I grew up with the Beatles, so Yesterday was like a common.
Was it a hot like your favorite holiday, basically? Yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, because your favorite song, you grew up with the Beatles.
Moving on, in 1966, on November 6th, the first entire lineup of television in color came from NBC. NBC was a little bit ahead of the game. They were owned by RCA, which manufactured the color cameras for studios and color sets for home. Are you not impressed by color television, or are you?
I always expected color television.
You lived in a time where...
I think it's hard to be impressed by something when it's all you've known.
Exactly.
You know, maybe if I had seen The Wizard of Oz when it came out and switched to color with the Munchkins, I would have been like, oh my God. But, you know, now if I'm watching The Wizard of Oz and it doesn't switch to color, I'm just going to turn it off.
Spoken by a true millennial.
Yep. I love Instagram.
We know you do. At Olivia Marcus, right?
Yeah, hit me up with a follow. Oh, by Olivia.
Staying on the same year in 1966, on this day, Kathy Whitworth wins the LPGA Amarillo Ladies Golf Open. Kathy has won 88 LPGA Tour tournaments over a 23-year span, and this is more than anyone else has won in either LPGA Tour or the PGA Tour. She has also become the first woman to reach a career earnings of $1 million of the LPGA Tour, and she was inducted in the World Golf Hall of Fame in 1982. How's your swing, Olivia?
I think it's pretty decent, actually. I sometimes go to the driving range and just hit them as far as I can.
Do you know how far you've actually hit a ball?
Is it like 150? Is that bad?
Actually, I mean, I'm impressed with that from you, but...
I mean, compared to, you know, LPGA golf winner Kathy, I'm not that great. But I took 3 golf lessons as a kid because I wanted the outfits.
Proud of you. Mm-hmm. On November 6th, 1970, Aerosmith performed their first gig ever. They played at a high school in Massachusetts, and Aerosmith has become the best-selling American rock band of all time, and they hold the record for most gold and multi-platinum albums by any American group, and they have sold more than 150 million albums worldwide. Every time I think of Aerosmith songs, I think of movies that they go with. Mm-hmm. So, like, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, I think of Blades of Glory.
Oh, yeah. That's a good movie.
They're, like, final performance. Sweet Emotion reminds me of always We're the Millers because Jennifer Aniston's killer little dance section, she goes there. And then also Dream On, of course, is in my favorite movie, Miracle on Ice.
See, Dream On reminds me of the TV show Glee. Neil Patrick Harris and the actor that played Will Schuster, the teacher, did a duet of it. And I blasted that in my dad's car in middle school.
And still to this day, probably.
And, like, last weekend, all the time.
Is Glee still around?
No, it's not, which is probably a good thing. But
sorry, is this a bitter subject?
No, I was a Gleek for a while.
You... Okay, explain to me and our listeners what a Gleek is.
So,
Because when I think of Gleek, that's what comes out of your mouth. Like,
like if you're sick or something?
No, if you, when you, it's called like when you Gleek, it's like... It's like when a little bit of spit comes out of your mouth when you're talking. It's called Gleek.
Oh, okay. Well, I think of Glee and Geek put together. So if you're a Gleek, that just means like you love Glee.
But that's a real term.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
All the biggest fans were Gleeks.
So moving on, in 1971, Cher had her two-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
Sounds like my weekend.
100% accurate. This was Cher's first U.S. solo as number one, and it also made number four spot in the U.K. On November 6, 1977, the musical Hair closes in Biltmore Theater, New York City, after 43 performances. Hair examines a group of 60s-era youth struggling with generational and personal identity, dealing with the Vietnam War, and exploring drugs and sexual revolution. Liv, have you heard about Hair? You're a big...
musical theater?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say big fan of the theater.
Yeah. I have seen a production of Hair. It wasn't my favorite musical. It definitely has a lot of energy to it. I think I saw a college production and they got a little bit too into the sex and drugs part of it and thought they were being really deep, and really it just was bad.
And it just didn't impress you?
Yeah.
Well, what about this one? 20 years later on this day in 1997, Proposals opens in New York as well. It was a comedy drama by Neil Simon, and this was Simon's 30th play, but it was also his second shortest running play. There was only 76 performances. Have you heard about this one at all?
I haven't, but if it's a short run, that usually means it didn't do very well.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite plays or musical?
That I've just seen in general?
Yeah. We can be here for a while, folks.
Yeah. All right. So when I was eight, no, I'm kidding. Last year, I saw the original Broadway cast in Dear Evan Hansen, which was incredible on Broadway. I was so just floored by it. And then obviously Hamilton's really good. I also got to see the original Broadway cast in that. And then Next to Normal, I think, is probably my favorite musical. It's written by Brian Yorkey. It won the Pulitzer Prize for Best Musical, and I grew up doing theater at the same theater as him, so I feel a special connection to it.
I am so happy you said Hamilton, only because I've been to New York twice with Olivia, probably for at least, what, like 3 weeks over the two times we've been?
Yeah.
And every day, at every hour, I was putting in my information to win tickets for you.
Oh, yeah.
But you just end up buying them anyways.
Well,
we tried.
After a certain point, you're like, I'm not going to win these tickets. So then you throw a few $100 down.
But it was definitely worth it.
Oh, definitely worth it. Yeah, for sure.
It's November 6th. Easy, Tiger. It's November 6th, 1990. And I'm Your Baby Tonight, the third studio album by Whitney Houston, is released. It became the Billboard album of the year in 1991. Are you familiar with this album at all?
No, I don't know any classics.
I don't know her stuff either. There's only the one Whitney Houston song that everyone knows.
Fun thing about Whitney Houston, in my class last week, one of the questions on my quiz, which was, who are the judges of The Voice right now? And someone wrote Whitney Houston.
Oh, really?
Which is funny because she's dead. I mean, it's not funny that she's dead, but it's funny that the girl was, you know, unintelligent.
So clearly not a fan of the show, nor Whitney.
Yeah, no, she didn't know much.
At least Whitney came to mind.
That's true. Yeah. R.I.P.
On this day in 2003, the MTV Awards in Scotland were here. It was an estimate of about a billion people that tuned in into 28 different countries. The winners of the MTV Awards included Christina Aguilera. She was the best female artist. Coldplay won the best group. Best album went out to our boy JT with his album Justified. Best R&B act went to Beyonce. Sean Paul took the best new act award, and Olivia, I love this last one for you. Eminem won the Best Hip Hop Act Award for the fifth year in a row.
Ooh, Eminem is the greatest artist of our generation and the generation before that, and probably every generation that will follow. No one is as smart as he is when it comes to writing lyrics.
What is your, you rapped to me a couple times. What was that one Eminem song though that you famously know.
That I love. Okay, well, I know.
It's like 6 minutes long and you know every word.
Oh, rap god.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm beginning to feel like a rap god, rap god.
What's your favorite line?
People from the front to the back, not. Oh, okay. Oh, my gosh. I get so nerdy. But this is really historical.
You are in the zone right now, too. The dedication in your eyes is unreal.
On I'm Back from the Mathers LP1, Eminem says this line where he says he wants to take 7 kids from Columbine, put them all in a line, not an AK-47, a revolver, and a 9. And the FCC blocked out the entire line because it was too soon. And they're like, we can't publish that. So he didn't. But on his most recent album and the song Rap God, he put the entire line in the song and then said, see if I get away with it now that I ain't as big as I was. But I.
Wow.
And he got away with it. So he made a point.
Did you listen to his new song that came out? It was just recently.
The one about Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Well, that was a rough day for me because they said you had to decide between whether or not you liked Eminem or if you liked Donald Trump. And as someone who, unpopular opinion, likes both, that was a hard choice.
It's November 6th in 2005, and on this day, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, the fourth film based on the book of J.K. Rowling, premieres in London. This movie goes on to become the most successful film of the year, earning almost $900 million.
I actually remember when that movie came out, because I was one of those kids that dressed up as Hermione and read the book in line. Don't say it like that.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm probably going to get bashed for this. I've never seen Harry Potter.
Have you read the books?
No.
You haven't even tried?
No.
Oh, Corey.
I know. Corey. I don't know. I'm just not into
Expelliarmus.
Jesus, Mary. I'm not into like fake things. I just don't have a mind that like drifts off into magic like
that.
Oh,
so no fake friends or anything like
no.
that?
No. Okay. No room for it.
Well, Harry Potter, I'd say, while it's based in a fantastical world, has very real themes and characters and values that you could maybe relate to.
Ooh. I'm down to go to Harry Potter World. Yeah, that's what it's called, right?
You have to read the books and the movie to drink the butterbeer.
That's why I would want to go.
Yeah, I know.
Have you been?
Yes, I actually went in Orlando when it opened, and I stood in line for 3 hours for butterbeer. I've stood in a lot of lines for Harry Potter.
Impressed.
Yeah.
How was the butterbeer?
Fantastic, actually. They have a blended one that's really good if it's hot out and it's like frothy. Yeah, it was really good. But I'm going to have to force you to read a Harry Potter book.
Oh, cringeworthy. Actually, I mean, that's bad. It did really well. I don't know if I can get it.
Because you realize you're in the minority, right? Like, that is the most popular thing probably ever.
You'd be surprised what I haven't seen. Star Wars? No.
Yeah, that's a no for me.
Okay. Well, at least we can agree on that. It's November 6, 2006, and the 40th Country Music Awards were held in Nashville, Tennessee. Entertainer of the Year went to Kenny Chesney. Carrie Underwood was recognized as Female Vocalist of the Year, and she was also honored the Horizon Award. Keith Urban was the Male Vocalist of the Year. And, of course, Brooks and Dunn won Vocal Duo of the Year, as well as Single of the Year, Song of the Year, and Music Video of the Year with their song, I Believe. In just 2 short days, it's the 51st CMA Awards that will take place on ABC, hosted by Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood. Would you be tuning in for that, Olivia?
Probably not. I don't love country music, and I'm also a little bit sad because I was reading this article of the 24 worst celebrities, and Carrie Underwood was on it. And
really?
Then someone I know that worked with her confirmed that she is
Why is she one
not
of the worst?
Nice. I guess she's just rude to everyone, like, is so difficult to work with.
I'm actually really shocked to hear that.
Yeah. And I love that, like, small town Oklahoma girl that.
Yeah, she was a sweetheart from American Idol.
Yeah. So I don't know. I can't look at her the same now. Can't look at those legs of steel.
I need to see this article.
Yeah.
Who else was on the list? Do you know?
I'm not sure. Tyra Banks made the nicest celebrity list, which I also thought was a little bit surprising.
Is it opposite day?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I was reading the wrong articles.
On November 6th, a lot of presidents were elected into office, and we'll go through that list right now. In 1860, our 16th American president was elected. Olivia, who was that?
Abraham Lincoln.
Smart girl. In 1888, Benjamin Harrison was our, do you know what president number he was? You're counting on your fingers right now.
Is it the 23rd?
Yes.
Hey.
He beat Grover Cleveland.
Bummer for Grover, right?
Sorry, Grover, not this time.
No.
In the 1900s, Republican U.S. President William McKinley was elected our 25th president, and his vice president was Theodore Roosevelt, who was also our 26th president. He defeated Democrat William Jennings Bryan.
Going back to Glee, they named their high school after William McKinley. It was William McKinley High School.
Oh, really?
Also, I don't know if you know this, but we gained a lot of land under President McKinley, so he led the U.S. into the Spanish-American War, and part of the peace settlement was that we got the overseas colonies of Puerto Rico, Guam, the Philippines, and then that year the U.S. also annexed the Republic of Hawaii as a U.S. territory.
You're honestly the perfect guest for this episode.
Yeah, there you go. And that led to that fire station being built by King.
Whatever his name was.
Whatever his name was.
We do appreciate the
all hail.
In 1928, Herbert Hoover beats Alfred E. Smith for U.S. presidency, and he was the 31st president. Moving on to 1940, Franklin Roosevelt was reelected as U.S. president as the 32nd president in our history.
Great. I love all those social plans he implemented. Thank God for Social Security, am I right?
Moving on to 1956, the U.S. President Eisenhower was reelected as our 34th president. It's 1968, and Nixon was elected our 37th president. And lastly, 2012, Barack Obama was reelected as U.S. president.
Thanks, Obama. Fun fact, when I was in seventh grade and Obama was sworn in the first time, I had the stomach flu and I threw up as he was being sworn in.
Very distinct memory you have.
Yeah, well, I had that nauseous feeling for the next 8 years as he served his term. Are those wedding bells that I hear?
Those are indeed.
Oh, and who are those ringing for today, Corey?
Well, our first wedding on November 6th was in 2010. The creator of Girls Gone Wild, Joe Francis, weds CBS News entertainer reporter Christina McLarty in Mexico. The two were together for 4 years prior to their marriage, but they split less than a month later. Our next wedding falls on the same year. Professional golfer Greg Norman weds Australian interior designer Kristen Cutter in the British Virgin Islands. And our last wedding happened just last year. TV personality and actress Audrina Patridge weds professional BMX rider Corey Bohan in Hawaii. Now, Olivia, we've been playing this game with our co-host. Which wedding would you crash?
The Girls Gone Wild one is tempting just because I can see that being a pretty fun evening.
It'd be a fun party to attend.
Yeah, meet some interesting people. But I'm pretty classic, and I think I would go to Audrina Patridge's in Hawaii.
Are you a fan of Audrina?
Yeah, she's the best.
You watch The Hills and all that?
Yeah, I did it for a little bit. She was definitely a great character on it. She lacked a little bit of emotional depth or intelligence, but she was really pretty, and I love Hawaii.
Well, that will conclude our show today. As always, thank you for tuning in to Replay Today. For more information on the show and to stay up to date with our latest content, check us out on our website at unpaused, spelled unpawsed.com/replaytoday. I'm your host, Corey Musser, hanging out with Olivia Marcus.
Be here anytime.
Thanks for tuning in.